made us sell seashells by... Where the fuck is my material? Oh, it's right there. It's right there where I left it. Imagine that. We could do the boomer, or not. You know, we could or we couldn't. It's one or the other. You can scream or shout with all your might. Ho! You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. You can shove your opinions up your ass. That way, Biden's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, my God, yes. Ah, so right. Ah, just so right. All the time, the right just doesn't stop. It's every day I get up, it's just, oh, look, I'm right again. I'm right again. Look, I'm right again. God damn it. Look at how right I am. Ah, oh, shit, it's beautiful. Did I? Oh, shit. Now I'm looking at the board here. I did some remixing. And it doesn't sound remixed, but I think that's because I'm listening through the headphones. And not... Anyway, we'll find out. It doesn't matter. What does matter, my friends and my enemies, is that we are here to wrap up talking about this book, Boomers, the men and women who promised freedom and delivered disaster by Helen Andrews, which has just gone to show why you don't read books written by women. Because I was contemplating, I was thinking back on the previous episode of the podcast, and I was looking forward at what I've got to read for today, and it's just, God, it's not that good. It's not that good of a book. And you would think, writing a book making fun of the boomers, I mean, come on, someone should be able to pull that off. But then, of course, this is a woman. Once again, I think this is it. I think this might be the last time I read a book written by a woman, unless I'm reading it to make fun of. And I have. I've got some books written by women to make fun of. Anyway. Let's cut to the chase because I want to get through with this. I want to be done with this fucking book, and I want to be done with this in this episode. Hang on, this is me putting shit away. All right, God damn it, there's never enough space. Never enough space. The coffee's good. Coming out of the Supergirl coffee cup. All right, here we go. Let's pick up where we left off. So where we left off, we were talking about the women's and the co-ed dorms and everything like that. And we're going to back up a little bit. Women had been admitted as graduate students at elite universities like Yale since the 19th century. Administrators did not doubt women's capacity for higher education. Well, that's because administrators are academians who have no contact with the real world, okay? Anyone who's actually been in the real world, like, for example, at a job with a woman or in a situation where a woman had to think, they would know that, yes, women do not have the ability to comprehend higher level thinking, right? There's no reason for women to go to higher education. Academians, of course, want women to go to college because more people go to college. That's more money for them. So, of course, the administrators at the colleges want women to come to college. That's how they make money. This makes total sense. But for those of us in the actual real world who have to deal with the consequences of these women after they've gone to college and they come out and they think they know stuff because, well, I'm educated. Well, yes, you're educated. I understand you're educated. You did sit in a classroom. and you regurgitated some stuff on a test and you paid a bunch of money for it. Nowadays, you take out loans to pay for it because you can't afford college anymore. I understand you're educated, but you're still a dumb bitch, okay? You're not smart. Because educated people, as I have discussed this multiple times in the past, educated people think they're intelligent because educated people aren't smart enough to know that intelligence and education are not the same thing, right? There's four different things. There's intelligence, there's education, there's wisdom, and there's common sense. And you can have or not have any combination of those. There's a lot of educated people that do not have any of the other three. It was the residential question they balked at, the idea of putting women in dormitories where alcohol and hormones would flow freely in the absence of adult supervision. When coeducation was finally accomplished with astonishing rapidity as the first boomers I still don't know what that word is, it was not because campus administrators started respecting women more or because their fears about women's sexual vulnerability had been assuaged, and those fears are as valid as ever, as ongoing concerns about campus assault prove, because, of course, yes, women will always be raped. Women will always be sexually assaulted. Women will always be sexually vulnerable because that's the source of their power, okay? If a woman can't get what she wants by having it just given to her because she showed up and she has a vagina, she can then claim that she's been raped and get what she wants. The sexual assault of women will never go away. If you took 100 women and you put them on a spaceship and you shot them into space and they were on their way to Mars, okay, those women would still get sexually assaulted and raped. Even though there's no men on the spaceship. I guess I kind of left that out. I see you put 100 women. 100 women and nobody else. There's 100 women on a spaceship by themselves going to Mars. On the way between Earth and Mars, some of those women will be sexually assaulted. Because women cannot achieve what they want in life. Women cannot get what they want unless they become sexually assaulted. That's one of their tools. It's like men. We do things every day. We eat. We shit. We breathe. You know, that women, they get sexually assaulted because for them, that's a means of accomplishing things. That's how they get stuff done. That's how they get what they want. Men get what they want by earning it. Women get what they want by playing the victim card. And the biggest, fattest victim card any fucking woman can play that's going to get her whatever the fuck she wants is the I was raped / sexually assaulted. Coeducation came in because schools that did not offer a pool of sexually available females saw applications from male students dwindle and budget holes open up. And of course, the school isn't about education, it's about making money. And thus, you must offer a pool of sexually available females to men so that men will come to your college. Quote, if Yale was going to keep its standing as one of the top two or three colleges in the nation, the availability of women was an amenity it could no longer do without. Unquote. A modern historian of coeducation blandly records. Now, because this is written by a woman, she, of course, did not provide a footnote or a reference or anything to find out where this actually takes place, where this quote comes from, so it could be put in any kind of context or say it could be verified. But then again, she's a woman. She doesn't know how to write. Men know that if you're writing a book and you put a quote in there, you have to provide enough information that people can actually find the quote if they want to verify it. But then, of course, women don't verify anything because women are dumber than fuck. Women just see something on television and they think it must be true. Well, it was on the TV. The TV wouldn't lie. The availability of women is an amenity it could no longer do without. Boy, who objectifies women? Maybe Yale and all the other colleges? I mean, yes, women, of course, objectify themselves all the time. Just look at Instagram. It is hard to stifle a rueful laugh at her use of the term amenity, which, whatever her intentions, is no more than the literal truth. Literally, Hitler, the literal truth that, yes, having women. I mean, why do men talk about going to college? Because they're going to bang broads, right? I mean, for however many years I've been doing this podcast, what have I talked about? Living in Fort Collins, the People's Republic, CSU. What's the main draw? Well, the CSU women's volleyball team. And what's the second main draw? Oh, the little college girls. I mean, did I ever wax eloquently? I mean, there were some other good things about CSU, the college. I mean, there is the Ramskeller, which is the bar that's on the college campus. I was going to go check it out while I was back there, but I never got around to it. I didn't get around to a lot of things because I spent... We're not going to talk about me. We're trying to get through this book. I spent a lot of time just fucking relaxing. God, it was great. The whole house sitting, pet sitting thing was fantastic. I do need to do an episode where I just update you guys on the exceedingly boring aspects of my personal life. And basically just brag to you how I did nothing for a week. It was great. Okay, but there's Ramskeller. And the CSU library is pretty large. It has a fairly good collection of books. It's got a lot of stuff in there. It's okay. Other than that, CSU has college girls and the CSU women's volleyball team. There's really no other reason for CSU to exist. Now, let us plunge forward like a hot dog down a hallway. Dormitory misbehavior was a sideshow compared with the boomer sexual revolution that would have had the most immediate impact on millennials, who were, in many cases, the direct result of it. The soaring out-of-wedlock birth rate. Yes, thank you, boomers, for giving us the single mother. We so appreciate it, because as the statistics have now shown, children of single parents, most of whom are single mothers, are more likely to do drugs, more likely to commit suicide, more likely to have mental problems, more likely to be criminals, more likely to get caught being criminals and go to jail, more likely to basically everything that's bad. No, I don't have those references right in front of me. Feel free to use Google. And if you find any study, any survey, any statistics anywhere that prove me wrong, feel free to let me know. You show me any statistic anywhere where the children of single mothers are doing better in some way. They have better grades in school, even though school is a joke. They're healthier. They're less fat. They do better at work, you know, whatever it is. Show me, find for me any statistic in which the children of single mothers don't grow up to be school shooters, psychos, animal killers, and single parents themselves. Show me. Single mothers are the worst thing. Literally, Hitler. I mean, and I throw this kind of commentary around a lot, right? We know this. The worst thing is the Jews. The worst thing is the blacks. You know, the worst thing is the boomers. I think it is arguable. And we also know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, I'm the first one to tell you that there's not a single cause for anything. And there's not. The decline, everything around us, the complete destruction of Western civilization and the decline of the United States and our society, all this other shit. There's not one cause. Okay, there's not one thing behind this. But yes, the boomers are a big chunk of it. And everything the boomers have done to take away money from other people and funnel it to them so that they can have comfort. And yes, a big part of it is the immigration, the continued immigration. Another big, giant chunk of it is the single mothers, because so much in our society has to be dumbed down to accommodate single mothers, right? There had to be so many quotas and workplace rules to accommodate single mothers. There has to be so much transfer of money to accommodate single mothers. There had to be so many laws for single mothers. There has to be so much daycare financed by the taxpayer for single mothers. There has to be so much has to be done to accommodate and to kiss up to and to provide for and to prevent any feelings of discomfort in single mothers. And then all the single mothers in the workforce have, of course, driven down the price of wages. Because even though there are some people out there who don't want to believe this, the more of something you have, the less it's worth. And when only 50% of the population, men, provide labor, then the labor is worth X amount of dollars. When you throw in the other 50% of the population, women, and you have them all start working as well, well, the price of labor goes down because now there's more labor. So single mothers have literally Hitler. They are right up there with the boomers and immigration as the primary causes of the destruction of Western civilization. I'm out of patience for everything and everyone. I don't want to hear your shit. Single mothers go. Anyway, all right, let's continue. We're never going to finish this. In 1960, unwed mothers were a single digit rarity. Today, more than 40% of births are to unmarried mothers. The percentage of children living with both biological parents by the time the mother is 40 years old. Wait, hold on. This woman can't fucking write like these sentences. The percentage of children living with both biological parents by the time the mother is 40 years old. What does that have to do with anything? God, this woman can't write. The percentage of children living with both biological parents by the time the mother is 40 years old is, among working class families, 30%. In 1960, it was 95%. But see, this is because women, they got married and they spit out these babies, but then they weren't happy. And so they got a divorce. Because they just weren't happy anymore. Because that's what's important, right? When you make a commitment, you gave through a great one. Why do you think women shouldn't be allowed to sign contracts? Well, I don't know. I mean, they can't commit to being married. How is a woman going to commit to making car payments? Why would I trust a woman to sign a contract and abide by the contract? Women, their entire lives have been told, well, sweetheart, anytime you're not happy, you it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. She can just change her mind anytime she wants, right? Signing a contract with a woman is like when you click on that user agreement with feminist book or InstaThought or whatever, right? And then they just change the user agreement whenever they want without your consent. Has there ever in history, to take tangent for a minute, I mean, has there ever in legal history been a precedent for a contract between two parties where one party can change the terms of the contract anytime they want and the other party, number one, has nothing to say about it and number two, cannot change the terms of the contract? I mean, how in the fuck is this contract that you agree to when you use social media or computer software or PayPal or, you know, any of this shit, this contract, this user agreement, it's a contract, that's what it is. It's a user agreement, it's a contract, it's a contract, it's a contract where the company, the other person, the person who's not you, the entity, can just change the contract anytime they want. I guess the only other thing close to that is marriage, where the woman can change anytime she wants. don't want me. I'm just not happy anymore. I'm just going to change the contract. I know I said until death do us part and better or worse, but fuck it. I'm not happy. I'm like feminist book. If I'm not happy, nobody's going to be happy. And I'm just going to change the terms of the contract until I'm happy. All right, sweetheart. And you wonder. And you wonder. There are entire sections of the country where marriage has become an unattainable aspiration. Partly, this is because women are really fucking fat and ugly and unattractive. No, but that's what she should have written if she was being honest. Partly, this is because boomers fail to give their children much in the way of helpful role modeling. Which is true. You look at the boomers and their parenting skills. I mean, I was raised by boomers. I got virtually no useful parental role modeling whatsoever. And partly because millennial women have a hard time persuading their men to settle down when the bachelorhood with which they have to compete is so much more attractive. With which one? Oh, the women. Yeah, this. God, this woman's sentences. Millennial women have a hard time persuading their men to settle down when the bachelorhood with which they being the women, not the men, have to compete is so much more attractive in its sexual prospects than bachelorhood was in the days before Tinder. These sentences are very clunky. And again, it's a woman. Natural. This is why I'm not telling you to read this book. I read this book for you. I didn't read the whole thing. I am enduring the pain for you. I'm like Jesus up here. I'm like Jesus on the cross. I am enduring the suffering and the pain so that you don't have to do it. I have read this book for your sins. You're welcome. I almost just said I wasn't even going to finish this. That's how painful reading, because I had forgotten how painfully bad this writing is. And then after, again, thinking back to the previous episode, I was like, God damn. I realized part of it was because I can't read because I'm retarded. But the other part is because this book is just written so badly. Naturally, this revolution has had political consequences because when fathers fail to provide, government must step in. The boomers' most consequential political legacy may be the biggest irony of all. For all their claims to be the most progressive generation ever, the main result of the boomers' involvement in politics has been the destruction of the left. Now, you might be wondering, because you're intelligent, what the fuck is she talking about the destruction of the left? The left happens to be destroying our society right now. The left is nowhere near destroyed. In 1950, the Democratic Party polled 15 points better among those without college degrees compared with those with them. By 2016, that advantage had flipped to a 15-point deficit. To translate that into English, because she can't write, at one point, the Democrat Party was the party that polled favorably among the uneducated. The uneducated, the people who hadn't gone to college. Because the Democrats are still writing this thing of, well, they care about the poor people and they care about the common people, which especially the stupid-ass boomers like my mother actually believe that. You know, my mother to this day thinks that the Democrat Party, that's the party that cares about the poor people and the uneducated people. And by uneducated, people who vote Democrat, like my boomer mother, always mean black people, because boomer stupid whores like my mother, who are Democrats, all think, because they're racist, that black people are all stupid. And that's why black people need the fucking Democrats to look out for them. And then these same people look at Republicans and call them racist. And I'm not saying Republicans aren't racist. I'm saying that Democrats and boomers and boomer women and people who think that the black people need the Democrats to protect them because they're too dumb to look out for themselves, I'm saying those people are racist as well. A great one. And I'm racist too. Yes, I am. Now, of course, as we all know, the Democrat Party is the party of millionaires and billionaires. The Democrat Party is filled with rich people and is out there to protect the interest of rich people. Anyone who thinks otherwise is literally Hitler, delusional. They are literally Hitler living in a fantasy world. The Labour Party in the UK has undergone the same transformation from the party of the working class to the party of the college-educated elite. But if a left-wing party is no longer the party of the working class, what good is it? What left is it? I think she's trying to be clever. I think she also, she being Helen Andrews, the author of this book, is trying to use the term left in the sense of the left is this movement that cares about... honest to God, I don't know. You know what? I'm not even... It doesn't matter. I don't know what the fuck she's trying to communicate because she can't write. We skip a bunch of stuff, which is probably really painful, and we come to this. In 1977, the workers at the Virgin Records plant came to the conclusion that the Sex Pistols single, God Save the Queen, was treasonous, and they downed Tools in protest. In other words, they went on strike. They downed Tools. You mean they went on strike? Can you just use words? Oh, you can't, can you, Helen? Because you're a woman and you went to college and you've got to try to do this highfalutin writing to show off how smart you are. You can't just write fucking sentences that make sense. This is women. This just constantly, did you know I'm an education? I'm educated. Let me show you how educated I am. I'm going to say that they downed Tools instead of saying they went on strike. They struck. They stopped working. Like women. Well, wait, women don't stop working because to stop working, you have to have ever been working at some point. Never mind. After weeks of negotiation, Richard Branson prevailed, and the workers were forced to produce the record. The fact that this is remembered as a victory for free speech and not a corporate boss quashing labor is the decline of the left in a nutshell. And so I think here's how Helen is envisioning the left. The left is supposed to be this whatever that is looking out for the little person. In that sense of the left, I can see how when she says the left has been destroyed by the boomers, okay, that I can see. Because yes, the boomers, my God, there's not a generation out there that's more in tune with the corporations than the boomers. I mean, come on. Everything about the boomers comes from a corporation. Their fucking medication, their adult diapers, their fucking Wuhan vaccine, their Medicare, their Medicaid, their Social Security. I mean, everything in the existence of the boomers revolves around corporations. They like to pretend that they've made the world a better place for the working class and all this other stuff, but they haven't. The accumulation of the 1960s... It's woman's writing. The accumulation of the 1960s generation's political takeover came in 1990, when they were the last ones holding the highest offices. I read that sentence wrong. The accumulation of the 1960s generation's political takeover came in the 1990s when at last they were the ones holding the highest offices. Unfortunately, this was also the moment when the working class was most in need of champions, with globalization and mass immigration both presenting problems with new urgency thanks to technological developments. Instead of champions, the working class got neoliberal triangulators like Bill Clinton and Tony Blair. By the time Hillary Clinton became the presidential nominee in 2016, there was no longer much attempt to disguise the Democrat Party's alliance with the educated and wealthy elite. No, not at all, because that's who the Democrat Party is filled with. It's filled with educated rich people who care about the poor in the sense that they want to control everything the poor see and think and do and can have access to for their own good. This was the year that one left-leaning news outlet, they're all left-leaning, including Fox News, that one left-leaning news outlet ran a headline in the wake of various business boycotts in support of progressive causes, suggesting that, quote, corporations are replacing churches as America's conscience, unquote. And it's true, they have. We're at the point where people decide what's right and wrong based on advertisements from corporations. We should celebrate homosexuality because all the corporations have gay pride logos. The most galling part of the boomer takeover of the left has been that they refuse to admit they have sold out. She's right about that. Their remarks, even in closed-door speeches for Goldman Sachs or at billionaire meetups in Switzerland, are full of resounding liberal pieties. When Sherry Blair was confronted by a senior civil servant about the unseemliness of having used her position as Britain's first lady to arrange for thousands of pounds of discounts on designer clothing, she called upon her training as a barista and angrily told him, quote, "You are infringing my rights under the European Convention of Human Rights," unquote. She was referring to her right to, quote, enjoy her profession. She was referring to her right to, quote, enjoy her She's talking about her right to, quote, enjoy her possessions, unquote, without interference from the state, and she was perfectly serious. Well, I didn't know that you had a right to enjoy your possessions, but then again, you can make up whatever kind of rights you want. Almost every political system in history, even the most authoritarian, has included some mechanism for the common man to make his needs heard. Kings courted their peasants to play off their nobles. Rural grandees lived close enough to their tenants and far enough from any kind of law enforcement that they had a personal interest in keeping their laborers contented. The boomers have outdone the most committed absolutist ever to sit on a throne because they have robbed the working class of what small political power they had. They took what was supposed to be the most effective mechanism in history for guarding the rights of the disadvantaged, the left-wing parties of the Western democracies, So, yeah, yes, that's what the left-wing parties of the Western democracies are. The most effective mechanism in history for guarding the rights of the disadvantaged. I mean, Helen Andrews is obviously just dumber than fuck if that's what she thinks that left-wing parties in Western democracies are. Or ever were. Furthermore, if she thinks that democracies can guard the rights of the disadvantaged, she's delusional. But like most, you know, conservative types, she is, of course, still clinging to democracy as a solution to all of her problems. And we can look around us, we can see how democracy has worked out. They took what was supposed to be the most effective mechanism in history for guarding the rights of the disadvantaged, the left-wing parties of Western democracies, and seized them for the wealthy and privileged. Yes, of course they did, because the people in the Democratic Party are wealthy and privileged. The point of going into politics is to do things that benefit yourself and your friends. So, of course, the wealthy, privileged people in the Democrat Party have taken control of the Democrat Party and shifted its purpose to providing things that benefit the rich and the wealthy and the privileged and the educated. The closest precedent to the boomer ethos is that of the 18th century English romantics. Like the boomers, the romantic poets were obsessed with youth. And the boomers are obsessed. I don't know if they're so much obsessed with youth. Although I'm not saying they aren't. That's a portion of it. But I think a big chunk of it is they're obsessed with not dying. If anything has shown us that about the boomers, it's been the whole Wuhan hoax. I mean, never, when in the history of the human species has this much damage been done to the fabric of society and the economy in order to protect some old people from dying? Now that the, and it's only going to get, I think it's only going to get worse. This is not going to get better because now that the boomers have figured out that they can shut everything down every time they get afraid of death, I think we got more of this coming. I think when the boomers actually are dead and gone, it's going to be rough going. They believed that a person's opinion was worth more before they had been corrupted by any direct experience of how the world really works. They were self-indulgent, both artistically and personally, with a soft spot for perception-altering drugs. All right, like the boomers, self-indulgent, artistically and personally, with a soft spot for perception-altering drugs. And then finally, we've reached the conclusion of this book. Final paragraph of her opening chapter. Except that the boomers, who outlived 1968, haven't pulled a Wordsworth. They aren't ashamed of their youthful radicalism. They are proud, inordinately proud, even of its sillier aspects. Perhaps it is because they are less reflective than the romantic poets. Perhaps it is because the damage that they have wrecked on the world they inherited has been mostly borne by other people. Whatever the reason, the difference is not to their credit. And she is right about that. I mean, the damage the boomers have done, they're not the ones suffering it. The boomers hold, you know, how much of the wealth in the United States? I don't remember a number offhand. You can look up. But they have the biggest concentration of money. The boomers are not the ones who are suffering the effects of all this stuff they've given us. You know, right? The immigration and the quotas in the workplace where you have to hire people that can't fucking do the job because these people are trannies or fucking darkies or fucking immigrants or fucking homos or fucking women or whatever. Right, the boomers are not the ones who have to go into a workplace where half the workforce is incompetent because they're affirmative action hires. Right, we have to cope with that. The boomers are sitting at home getting their fucking social security payments like my mother and sending me emails talking about how I got my $1,400 stimulus check. And I'm thinking, that's great. I paid $3,800 taxes and the company I used to work for has been destroyed and I don't have a job because of the Wuhan hoax because you're afraid of dying. That's fantastic. I sure am glad you got my tax money, you fucking boomer whore. Okay? They are not feeling the brunt of this. The whole Wuhan shutdown. Boomers don't go outside anyway. All they do is sit around at home and drool on themselves. Didn't affect them in the slightest. I mean, the boomers, they're not going to be alive when the my God, look, just look at the kids today. Ah, God. I mean, when the kids being born today are 20 years old, these are going to be children. You know, I talked about how I want to see the girls that are 20 right now when they hit 40 and they crash and burn, right? Okay, think about this. Here's something the boomers will never have to deal with. Think about 20 years from today when you've got these kids. In addition to everything that the Zoomers are burdened with, okay, these kids have never known a life where you go to the airport and the TSA isn't touching you. They've never known a life without smartphones. They've never known a life where you don't have to put on a muzzle to go in buildings, right? They'll have been injected with how many experimental vaccines and boosters by the time they're 20 years old. They'll have kids born today will never know a time when you don't go places and see signs that say social distancing, stay 6 feet apart. What kind of fucked up society are those kids going to create? Holy shit. That's going to be a disaster. All right, I'm glad I got that done because now I'm going to get this out of the way, I think. I should have looked ahead to see what's in. We're just going to. So there is. Sorry, so here in South Dakota, right, back in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, everything was choice, because it's Fort Collins is the choice city. And then there's the river that goes over there called the Poudre River. So you got the Poudre Valley Hospital, and you got Poudre Pet Clinic, and you got Poudre Plumbing, and you got Poudre Electricians, and you got the Choice Electricians, and you got Choice Plumbing, and that's every. Well, here in South Dakota, here in Rapid City, everything is Black Hills. You got Black Hills Bagels. You got Black Hills Plumber. You got Black Hills Auto Mechanic. You got Black Hills Horsey Boarding. You got Black Hills Day Spa. Well, here we have, I can't make this up, guys. I can't make this up. When I saw this, I nearly died. I looked, I saw this, and I said, no, I can't be seeing this right. So I walked over closer, and I looked at it, and I said, my God, it really is. This is a magazine, one of the free throwaway magazines. It is called Black Hills Boomer, Volume 13. I'm not making this up. Black Hills Boomer. And on the picture, there's a fucking boomer. I mean, on the picture, on the cover, there's a picture of a fucking boomer. And we open it up. Oh, look, a picture of a boomer. It's an advertisement for a spa where you can achieve renewal a world-class destination spa specializing in natural products and treatments, gain therapeutic benefits in the Aclina Garden and the relaxing backdrop of the sacred Black Hills. You know, there's 2-year-old children walking around with a cloth over their faces. But thank God the boomers can go to the spa and achieve renewal. What is this? Here we got, this chick on the cover, she's got something to do with an opera house. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter, but it's this old fucking boomer, bitch. Here we got the advertisement for pet portraits. Look, I'm not making this up, guys. Pet portraits. Right under pet portraits, it says fur babies. Fur babies. Do you know why boomers need fur babies? Because the boomers have alienated their own children. Because their own children hate them. Because the boomers have fucking destroyed everything. You're gonna die alone, boomers. Oh God, you're gonna die alone. You're all gonna die alone because nobody likes you. Nobody wants to be around you, okay? You're gonna be in a fucking nursing home where some affirmative action hire who doesn't give a shit whether you live or die is going to be your caretaker. And you are gonna be laying there wallowing in your own shit and piss because your children, assuming you even had any, didn't abort them all, right? Your children, they fucking hate you because you're a fucking boomer piece of shit. And your fur babies, they can't fucking change your diapers, guys. Your fur babies can't change your diapers. This is Erica Lane Photography. Of course it's a woman. Because no man is going to do pet photography. And even if he does, I would do pet photography, but there's no fucking way in hell in my advertising I would use the phrase fur babies. Let me read this copy to you. Pet portraits, fur babies. Each and every pet that comes into our lives leaves their mark on our hearts. Just like children, they grow up too fast! Exclamation mark. Erica's portrait experience will help you capture your pet's adorableness so you can cherish the love they gave you forever. Forever. F-U-R-R hyphen E-V-E-R. You can cherish the love they gave you forever with a photograph that you can proudly hang in your home. Pet portrait experiences. 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 It's a pet portrait experience. Starting at $250. That's Erica Lane Photography. ericalanephotography.com. Oh, God. Here's our next article. It Takes a Village, written by Brittany Pruse. Of course it's written by a woman. No self-respecting man. Well, then again, we're talking about boomers. Today, perhaps more than ever, young parents are discovering that it truly does take a village to raise a child. Yes, that's because young parents today are probably single mothers. And they don't have any support from their fucking boomer parents because their boomer parents are a bunch of goddamn losers. It doesn't take a fucking village. It takes a husband and a wife. The wife stays home and raises the fucking child. The fucking man goes to work to provide for the family so the wife can raise the fucking child. It does not take a fucking village to raise children. It takes a healthy fucking marriage. Which the boomers have fucking destroyed. Black Hills Advocate. Black Hills Advocate is the only... This is an advertisement. Black Hills Advocate. Everything is Black Hills. Everything is... Black Hills Advocate is the only local company staffed with board-certified patient advocates that provide services for the aging. Services for the aging. Oh my... We specialize in boomers. Level of care consultations, case management, shared decision making, accompaniments to medical appointments, move coordination, powers of attorney, guardianship / conservatorship. Please call Black Hills Advocate for a free consultation to find out how we can help you live your best life. I'll tell you how you boomers can live your best life. You can live it by dying. Just fucking die. Die and get the fuck out of the way because you're destroying everything. I mean, there's not much left. And you're going to destroy that before you die, aren't you? Standing tall. Five Posture Tips for Seniors by Sarah McEvoy. Of course it's written by a woman. Here we have Rapid City Medical, joint pain, Rapid City Medical Center. Stop pushing through the pain. Here we have some real estate agents advertising. Here we have Zoom 101 by Daniel Breedle. It's a fucking article for boomers about how to use Zoom. Join a meeting. There are different ways to join a Zoom meeting that has been set up. Yeah, participate in a meeting. Although participating in your meeting isn't difficult, here are a few pointers to help your meeting run smoothly. We have to tell the boomers how to use Zoom. Now, they're intelligent, they're educated, they know they're experts on viruses. I mean, how can all of these boomers who are fucking virologists, who know everything about viruses, how can using Zoom be so complicated to them? Let's Get Dirty, written by Sarah Grassel. It's a fucking thing for boomers about how to plant plants, about gardening, because it's so hard to grow a fucking plant. I mean, you've destroyed fucking Western civilization. How hard can it be to put a fucking tomato plant in the ground and pour some fucking water on it? Jesus Christ. God damn it, I hate boomers.